us, and she said that they had taken Dave back, and that they found out that his heart, the medicine he's on to keep him from having heart problems, is affecting his lungs. And the doctor told him they're going to have to make a choice whether to take him off the heart medicine when there's, told him there's nothing they can do for his heart, or if he stays on the heart medicine, they're going to have to put him on oxygen and call hospice. So they're kind of in a hard place. So we're going to pray for Dave and Dee Dee. And I'd like for you to pray for Cynthia's sister, Lily, who's been on dialysis, and it forms these large, many of you know, knots. So they decided to put the port in her neck, and now she can't. She's basically paralyzed from the waist down. It hit a nerve, so we need to pray for her. And Josh Zapata, our drummer, and Kendra's oldest daughter, Levi, fell in gymnastics and broke her elbow. Oh, no. But the good news is they don't need surgery on it. She's just in a cast. So we're going to pray for her. And also I'd like for you to pray for Wallace and Cindy. Wallace went through about a seven-hour surgery today. The doctor said everything went well. He's in a room and he's resting. So Cindy's going to come home and get some rest. So just remember those. Let's just lift those up right now. Father, we just thank you that in your name, God, every provision has been made for us. Father, we thank you that through the suffering of Jesus Christ, all those beatings that he took, God, we do not have to suffer, Lord, in our bodies. And we proclaim healing and life right now in the name of Jesus over every one of these. God, I thank you that there is no disease name, there is no demonic name, there is no enemy name that is greater than your name. And we lift up your name tonight, Lord. Touch Dee Dee's heart and Dave, God, encourage them. Lord, touch Cindy and Wallace tonight. Let Lily, God, have an experience with you, Lord, and take that off her nerve. Set her free, Lord, we pray, God. Meet every need. And let Levi, God, see that your love, God, doesn't need an age. You're ageless. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Y'all said? Amen. Ooh, yes. All right. Shannon, I've got this marked in here. You've got one too.
The whole thing?
Yeah. Shannon's going to read 1 John chapter 1 for you tonight.
The word of life, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete, walking in the light. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives.
Thank you, love girl. All right. You've got the word tonight, right? Thank you, Shannon, for helping me tonight. I just want to encourage you tonight because here John is coming in and he's making a statement. We touched on this last week. He's saying, hey, we didn't just know about him. This isn't just something we heard secondhand. We knew him. We saw him, we heard him, and we touched him. Just taking it all in. Coming in tonight, and he says, from the very first day we were there, we're just taking it all in. And there have come these people, you've heard the term before, the Gnostics, the people who believed that you could take partial truth, and they were taking that and changing it into their opinions and their views. And we got the same thing today, only everybody looks up to them and calls them wise and wonderful. And it's not. It's poisonous and it's destructive. When you have just a little bit of something, but you don't have the whole truth on something, you can get in trouble. Right? So we're going to talk about this. And he's talking about a couple of things that you're going to hear these phrases that we need to go over tonight. One is fellowship. Thank you. One is joy. Okay? And we're going to talk about these things. And we're also going to talk about our connection with him. So there's fellowship and joy and the light. I want to tell you that many of you have probably had x-rays, right? You've had an x-ray or something. Yeah, many, whatever. But there's a thing where they take, it's a film, it's a negative, and they take it, and there's a light that comes on top of that between you and that negative thing. And when the light shines on it, it reveals what's hidden. Okay? When my mom was sick, they would make her drink this horrible stuff, and then they would do a scan of her body, and it would light up wherever there was cancer. It would collect on that and light it up, and they could see where the cancer was, where that kind of thing happened. And you've seen on, if you watch all those detective shows and, you know, I can't think of CSI, yeah, all those shows. Yeah, Law and Order, June, you own it, aren't you, girl? Well, when they show that, you know, they'll take this special light and they'll say, oh, there's blood, you know, the blood's been here and all that stuff. I just want to make it clear to you that you understand that light is here to reveal things that are hidden, and whatever's negative, when God shines his light on it, it becomes positive. But whenever the enemy wants to cast a shadow on the light, there's always fear and there's always doubt. And he thrives on fear and doubt because he knows that those are things that are going to keep you separated from God's good love. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight is fellowship. Fellowship in the Greek, the word is koinonia, and we, you know, back in, I guess it was the 70s, you know, I would love to say I heard about it, but I did live it. They used to have this thing called koinonia fellowships. And it was meant because the word koinonia, it actually is a Hebrew word for everlasting. And it means beyond the vanishing point. And it means to continue. So fellowship with Christ from the beginning, it should be everlasting. And we get that word from Micah 5:2 in the Hebrew. That's where it refers to that fellowship. So, you know, Bernice has been sick, Steve's mom, you know, and she had a stroke a couple of years ago, and we had her at one hospital, and then they transferred her to another hospital for rehab. Well, when she got to the second hospital, she liked it so much better than the first. And so when they got ready to release her, we went, they have a, what they call a patient advocate that comes in, and so we said, hey, we'd really like to continue to use this hospital. But her doctor could not use that hospital, so she was willing to get a new doctor so that if anything happened to her, she knew where she could go, and she knew that her doctor was going to be there. So they looked on a list, and the man that she really liked, the doctor she really liked, said, well, I'd like to recommend a man who's in fellowship with us. Okay? So doctors have to be in a fellowship to use a certain hospital. And he said, what a fellowship means is this guy is proven, he's always got an open door here, and he has access to anything that he needs that we have. And that is exactly what we have when we have fellowship with the Lord. We've been proven worthy by the blood of Jesus. We have full access to everything that they have, and we have an open door policy with heaven that we can come in and access those things anytime we need them. Fellowship is not darkness, okay? Many of you, you have jobs or you have family. I call it the shark syndrome. And when you're together with family, the first one to draw blood, to talk negative about somebody, it's like a shark feeding frenzy. Now, Shannon likes sharks, but I'm just saying they are not your friends, okay? They make cute house shoes, but they are not your friends. But I just, boy, whatever the first thing is, if somebody says negative, boy, those that love negativity, they'll just, oh, yeah. And, you know, you just have to get up and leave the room because you can say one or two positive things and they just act like you can't be heard. So I've learned I just leave the room because if I sit there, my silence condones what they said because the family member will say later, well, Gay heard that. She was sitting in there. She heard it. So I'm like, dude, I'm getting out of here, okay? You're at work and people start talking about other people. And, you know, you're just like, God, I need this paycheck. But, you know, by the time you go to eat with people and all they talk about is, you know, sex and happy hour, and then you get through with that and you come back and you have to listen to them talk about each other, that's not fellowship. That's a burden. Why? Why does that take life from you? Because it's in the darkness. The darkness are things that are not of God, okay? So the enemy wants to steal that. And in the middle of that, he also brings to us something that takes away our joy. We'll talk about joy in a minute. I wonder, Chuck Whitby used to come to church here, and they used to have a blues band that sang at the church. Some of you have heard them do it. And Chuck Whitby would say, how can that be even, can there be Christian blues? You know, how can these two things work together? Right? So I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about people who say, you know, and you know them, let's don't raise our hands or, you know, go, let's don't agree with this, but, you know, there are people who claim to be Christians, but they're so depressed, and they're so blue all the time that you're like, oh, dear God. It's like you see them coming, and you just kind of go the other way, you know, or try to avoid them. Why? Because people who serve God, we've got this powerful tool called joy that we should be able to have. And joy, guys, is not, it's not happiness. That's something that can change with your circumstances or your situation. But joy is where we can bring our circumstances and situation and find the hope of God, find His Word, and get in agreement with it. And then regardless of what we're going through, we can have that hope. And when we get up from having that fellowship, that open door access, that proven God experience, which is what John's talking about, we've touched Him, we've seen Him, we know it for a fact. He's trying to get people to believe that way and to experience God, because if you experience Him, then when all these false prophets, when all the doubters, when all the Gnostics come in with just a little bit of truth. I wonder, where was it the first time that we saw just a little bit of truth come in and get people to separate from God? The Garden of Eden, right? And so what was the first thing that they did after they ate? They covered up and went and hid. Are you seeing a pattern here? Because things that are not of God, the enemy wants us to hide because he knows that our love, our acceptance, our forgiveness is found in Christ. And if he breaks off fellowship, then we'll start believing other things that aren't true. There was an old preacher who used to teach on the radio, and I heard him tell this story one time. He told that after church, this businessman said, hey, I'm going to go squirrel hunting. Would you like to go with me? He's like, well, sure. And it was in Tennessee. So they drove out to these, you know, this little mountainous area. And he said, hey, we're going to get out of the truck, and what's going to happen, there's a round path, and I want you to go to the left, and I'm going to go to the right, and we'll just meet back up. Okay, so that way, if one of us isn't having good luck, the other one will. He's like, okay. Well, the preacher said it was kind of overcast and everything, so he started out in a little bit, just little tiny rain started coming. He didn't think much of it. He kept going. Wasn't having any luck seeing anything, and pretty soon he said the rain got bigger. Then it was really coming down. And he had noticed these little caves, and he thought, man, I'm going to get me some protection. I'm going to run in that cave. So he said he was sitting at the entrance of the cave, and he's watching it, and because he's gotten wet, he started getting cold. Started getting a little cold. So he decided, hey, I'm going to take, there's some leaves and sticks right here. I'm going to put them together. I'm going to make me a little fire, warm myself up. So he said when he lit the fire, all of a sudden he saw all these spider webs with these giant spiders, all these lizards, and in the corner of the cave was a snake coiled up. And he thought, dude, I am getting out of here. And so he got out of there and he thought, I'd just rather be wet than deal with this. But I share that story with you because I want you to understand, we can find comfort in the dark. We can think we don't like what's going on around us, and we'll seek out that isolated space. But unless we have the light, there are hidden dangers that can bite us and poison us. Okay? So this is what John's trying to say to us. He's trying to say, stay in the light, because in the light, there's always going to be fellowship. Darkness is the opposite of joy. Listen, when people talk about darkness, if I said, what's darkness? Everybody be like, oh, drug use and, you know, pornography, and we'd go after these things. And while it's true that those things can separate us from God, it's not just those things that are darkness. Darkness can be when somebody has decided that God can't do what he said he'll do. It's doubt. Doubt is darkness. When we believe that God cannot do what he said, oh, well, that's not anybody in here, Gay. Well, let me just ask you, have you ever heard somebody who's a really, and I believe we're Christians, but have you ever heard somebody say, well, he said he wouldn't give us more than we can bear, and I'm kind of doubting that's true. Yeah? You ever heard anybody say, well, that's good for them. He can help them, but, you know, that's, boy, our family, we're the ones who don't get the help. Those are doubt. Those are things that are darkness, because he is clear in that word that there is nothing, nada, nil, niet, zilch, el zippo. Nothing is going to come in him that is darkness. There's nothing in him that is looking to get you, to corner you in your sin so he can remove you from his presence. In fact, that was the very thing that Jesus, of all people, because he was human, that was the thing that terrified him the most. Do you know it was not death that terrified him? It was separation from the Father, because he knew when the sin came on him that he would not have fellowship with his dad for 3 to 6 hours or whatever your theological view on that is. But he did not want to be separated from that love connection. That was his whole thing. That's why he was saying, not my will but thine. Not because he had to die for the sin, but because he knew that there was going to be a separation of fellowship because of it. But because he did that, we have the right to the full access, the open door, and every provision, because we have that fellowship with him. So he's coming in. He's saying, I want you to stay close with this. So people come in. They say, you know, well, I don't know what's wrong with me. You know, I'm just feeling so whatever, and I can't get over this. Hey, I'm all for wisdom and counsel. I'm all for that, guys. But I want you to know that God has made a place where you can get alone and you can just begin to pour that out. It's like he's sitting. You've heard Steve use the analogy of him buying two donuts in the morning and sitting in a chair, one for him and one for Jesus. And after he talks to him, he says, hey, are you going to eat that donut? Right? It's conversational. When you share with somebody your fears and your angst, don't you feel better? That's why he says confession is good for the soul. Confess your, it does, the Bible doesn't say that, but it does say that to confess your faults, even one to another. There's a freedom in it. So here's the thing that comes along. We're in this word confession, so I went to, and I looked up the meaning of this word confession. And here's what people think. People think that confession is, I'm going to say that I'm going to tell God every bad thing that I've ever done. And if I don't tell him every bad thing I've ever done before the rapture takes place, I'm not going to heaven. Any of you ever heard this teaching? Yeah. Come on, tell the truth. You know, what if you're right in the middle of something and he comes and you're going to be left behind? Well, the word confession is almost sounds like I'm a gayo to me. I'm a gayo. Oh, I'm a gayo. But really, it's like, you know, it's a Greek word. But what it really means when you confess something is you get in agreement. If the Lord says to you, hey, if you hold something against your brother, I'm going to hold something against you. Because if I'm going to give mercy, I want mercy to be produced in your life, right? So I'm going to confess, Lord, I am in agreement with you, God. I want to free up all that space in my heart from unforgiveness. Nothing would justify me being separated from you. God, I'm in agreement with what you're saying. So here's the thing. I guess because we have children, we're like, okay, we line them up. We're like, okay, who did it? Y'all need to confess right now. Or because religion has taken the beauty of that agreement and now said you have to go and you have to have a mediator that you confess your sin to so the mediator can tell you what to do to get it right. You're bypassing fellowship with Jesus, because when you confess, when you get in agreement, you're like, God, I'm just feeling so out of it. God, I feel so hopeless. I am feeling helpless. I keep getting all this happening. And the things that we're terrified the most of are bills, loss of a spouse, maybe a death or a disease. That's what we're terrified of. And the only thing that Jesus didn't want was separation of the fellowship with his Father. And because he did that, I can confess to him, God, I need you. I'm in agreement that I need you. I can't make this happen. I can't feel bad enough about my sin. I can't go back and make everything right. But I need you to come in and fellowship with me and give me peace. Well, Gay, don't Christians get sad? Yes, they do get sad. Remember on the road to Emmaus when Jesus is walking and they're like, oh, we're so sad. Have you not heard? You know, and it's Jesus. I mean, this probably happens to me all the time. Have you not heard how bad this is? And he's with me telling me something. And I'm like trying to tell him how bad it is. But what did he start doing? He started sharing the word about what God says that is for you and not what is against you. What he's going to do for you, what his promises, what has happened because Jesus has come, the Savior. Now because he's there, I don't have to live in the year, you know, 3, you know, AD or 3 BC or whatever it would be. I don't have to live in that time frame to touch and know him. I know him right now. Come on and give me an amen if you've ever felt his presence and touched him. Give me an amen if you've ever known the difference between the weight of sin and him taking that off you. See, John's saying, you can touch him. You too can experience his life because he now lives in you and you have the power to overcome. So Jesus stops. They break bread together. That's fellowship. He shares the word with them. So it's fellowship and the light of the word. Doesn't it say in the Bible? I wasn't stuttering. I was trying to make a point. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when the negative thing comes in there, the light comes on it. And all of a sudden he says to me, this is where you're broken. This is where the injury was. I'm going to do some surgery on you. And he begins to pour his love in me. And when he pours his love in me, it conforms the hurt and the broken place to his healing and his wholeness that was already bought for me. And I leave that place and I didn't get an answer. I didn't get a plan of action. I didn't get a how to do this. All I know is that bitterness, that weight, that fear, that doubt is off of me. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, that's what John's telling them. Don't go with what people say where they've added their wisdom to it. Go with what I'm telling you because I'm the one. I'm the one who's going to get you set free. I've put on here some main thoughts for you. And on the back of your notes, there is God's voice and Satan's voice. I'm not going to take time to read it tonight. But this is something I want you to look over because Steve has a really good analogy that he uses that when Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, my sheep know my voice, and I'll lead you beside the paths of righteousness. I'll lead you beside the still waters, good shepherd. That he also is not a cattle driver with a hot shot hitting you in the rear to get you motivated to keep going. It's a choice to follow him. It's a privilege because we're not criminals. We're his children. And so John wants you not to break fellowship with him because if you break fellowship, you're not going to have joy. Joy is always going to be there if we allow it. On the road to Emmaus, by the time they left, it said that they were joyful. He says in Psalms that the anointing is your joy. Your joy is your anointing. He says that Jesus in Hebrews was anointed with joy. And I want to tell you the reason we quit fellowship, the reason we break off from receiving that joy is because we walk out from under our anointing. Well, I can handle this. You know? Dude, you know, I'm past 50. I got me some answers. I can handle this. I've been married 10 years. I know what I'm doing. Let me just tell you something. I've been married 40 plus, and we still don't know what we're doing sometimes. But we know who to cry out to, and he gives us the answer. And we may not pray together over something, but I can guarantee you if both of us get alone with the Lord, you don't have to get in there and say, well, here's what the Lord showed me about you. You get in there, and you just know something's right. That angst, that separation, that darkness is gone because you've been in the light, and you can just let it go. But joy is always there if we allow it. Those scriptures are in Psalms 45:19 and Hebrews 1:9 that I just shared with you about the anointing of joy. Listen, confession is not, God, I just can't get over this. God, I just can't get over this. The confession is, God, I know you made provision for me to get over this. God, I know there's healing for me in the name of Jesus. God, I don't care what the doctors say, I'm going to believe. I'm going to stand in faith with what you say. I'm hurt, I'm injured, I'm wounded. But here's the problem. Because we don't have fellowship with God, we get carried away with all the causes today that say, well, you know, that shouldn't happen to you. Well, that's not right. You need to sue those people. None of us will have anything to do with them. Hey, better yet, let's have a social media campaign to prove how bad they are and how right we are. There is no justification for a believer except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who's paid the penalty and the price for the darkness because we're getting bit. The word is so clear, guys. You know, sin is going to keep you from the things of God, and the enemy is going to keep you doubting God's goodness so that you won't go to him, not because God's not willing, but because we separate ourselves by these false claims that, well, I did this, so now I can't have that. Okay. Here's the difference between happiness and joy. The Gnostics, I want to explain this to you. Gnostics will say, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Well, that's true. And they'll say, so, you know, there's allowances for some of this stuff because nobody's perfect. And you don't want anybody talking about sin because that's just going to make you feel bad. And, you know, we don't want to feel bad above everything else. That's not my happy place. So don't come at me and tell me about those kind of things because that's not a happy place for me. Well, I'm playing with a little kid. Last Sunday, we were playing with Dawson after church, and Jim and Joy's going, Dawson, Dawson, Edward, Dawson, Dawson. And he's just, huh, huh, huh. And he's just laughing. And she goes at it, and about the sixth time she says it, he goes, What changed? Dawson. All of a sudden, what was fun wasn't fun anymore. Man, I'm going to go see that. Man, I'm going to go private meet with those people. Man, I'm going to, oh, dude, that is just not fun anymore. See, we're looking for happiness, a circumstance or a situation to validate us when the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, man, you know, we get in there with this joy thing, and here's another one. Here's how Gnostics teach it. Well, you got a Corvette. You were driving, and you're happy. And all of a sudden, there's a red light in the mirror, or a red and blue light, or whatever color it is. I'm not really sure. But, you know, woo, woo, and you're like, oh, Jesus. So you pull the car over, and you're going to get a ticket. So a Gnostic would say, well, you're not evil. You're not bad, because all men basically are good. Which is exact opposite to what the Word teaches. The Word teaches that we're born in sin and that we can't even know sometimes what goodness is, even with our best intentions. We've got to have the Word, the fellowship with Him to know it. And can I just tell you, you don't even know how to quote the Bible, and He'll share those things with you and bring you in line with the Bible. You'll just know, I shouldn't do that. Amen? Ooh, that's not the right thing to do. And it's not in the Bible, you know, today, don't go over to see, you know, Hofbräu, wait 3 days. But sometimes you'll just know, oh, I shouldn't do that. And then you see, you know, there was a shooting or whatever, and you're like, wow, thank you, God. Are you with me? He shares things intimately that you may not find exactly in the Bible. But Gnostics are trying to say, well, here's a little bit, you know, of good. So you're not bad. The Corvette was bad. And if it hadn't been made to go so fast, so quick, you wouldn't have got in trouble. Man, are you hearing that kind of crazy talk like I am now? It's always somebody else's fault. I don't have to be responsible. And here's God saying, be responsible. Get in agreement with me that I can right these wrongs, that I can fulfill you and bring you joy that's not limited to a circumstance or a situation, but that I can make all things right. So here's another one. Let's just say that you're having trouble with your bills, okay? So tonight, this is a genuine checkbook of ours. I'm going to write you a check. The one who's the most worried about your bills, I'm going to write you a check tonight for $10,000. Ooh, Jesus, I feel it. Y'all feeling it? Yeah, y'all getting excited now. Ooh, we're happy. We so happy. But here's the thing. If I go to the bank, you go to the bank to cash it, and it don't work, you ain't happy no more. Okay? All your happiness just went out the door. Because I don't have access to unlimited funds. But when I'm with the Lord, and He says to me, you're not happy about this situation, I'm going to give you some access to something. I'm going to give you my word that I will never leave you and that I will never forsake you. I'm going to give you my word that I want to bring you out of this darkness into the marvelous light. But we're so afraid of the underlying negative that he will reject us, that we won't submit ourselves to the light for him to turn the negative into something positive and show him where the hurt is so we can give it to him for healing. Man, he wants our joy to be complete. Let me tell you, my check, these look like paper. It's rubber. Bam, bing, bing, bing. I couldn't do it. But he's already paid the price for unlimited access because we have fellowship with him that is an open door that is full access to everything that's inside. I can use it because I've been proven through the blood of Jesus to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're not getting this guarantee anywhere else. You don't have to know everything. Man, there's people that want you to know everything before you can get an answer. And here's a God who says you don't have to know because he's a good father like you were to your children, a parent, and they didn't have to have all the answers. You gave them just what they needed. And then when they were 15, you didn't have to tell them anymore, dude, get out of the diaper. Because it was done. That was a maturing process that had to happen. And you were faithful with them. You were patient with them. You were long-suffering. If you and I are that way, can you imagine what God is? Who is the eternal, everlasting Father looking to whom? He's looking. The enemy's looking for who he can devour. And God is looking for who he can save. Man, John's bringing this home tonight. But he says, we got to quiet the minds. We got to quiet this clatter, because when the Spirit shows up, that's when you can say this doesn't matter. But until then, it just gnaws and gnaws and drives you. And if you're in a situation where something is gnawing you and driving you and you can't get over it, I'm asking you tonight to join back in with the fellowship and with the breaking of the bread and the word with him, because he'll make it right. Well, you know, I'm having trouble understanding. Some of the best times I have are in the morning when I'm driving. And I don't know why. It just seems like I can hear him better. So I was coming back, I guess it was Monday morning, and I was headed back to the church, and I was coming up, and there was this school zone. Now, the light wasn't flashing. But it said, at 8:15, there's a school zone here. Well, it was 8:11. I was like, you know what? I'm going to obey that anyway. And I was like, God, are you proud of me? It's 4 minutes early. Aren't you proud of me today? And he's like, it's never too early to obey me. It's never too early. See, we're waiting until something bad happens, and then we're going to get in agreement, confess, get in agreement with him. We're waiting for the bad thing to happen, and he wants me to stay in fellowship with him. So when the bad thing happens, because he said you're in this world, trouble and tribulation you're going to have, but I've made a way of escape from the temptation of falling. So what he's telling me is, girl, I got a better way. And I want you to know it's his way. Because he's going to show me the things that I'm letting overtake my fellowship. Can I get an amen on this? Man, that thought is just driving me. Oh, I just wish I could stop. I'll just give in. And then what do we do? Because we're sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. We try to cover up and hide. We need to run to him and not from him. That's what John is saying. And once you've experienced him, the Holy Spirit will remind you, hey, that wasn't so bad. Well, let's go back to the cave. Let's just say that our pastor friend didn't turn on the light and something bit him. Now, he gets set free. He goes to the light. He meets the man. He's like, dude, something got a hold of me. They get him to the hospital. You're going to be fine, sir. There's just this poison. But listen, the Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap. Jesus has sown so I don't have to reap death, hell, and condemnation. But there are, in this life, repercussions of the venom of sin. Because I don't know about you, but once you're offended by a brother or sister, even the Bible says a brother or sister that's offended, it's harder to win them back. Right? Doesn't mean you can't. It means there's a breach there, and we're so afraid of the negative, we run from the light because we know where it's going to be exposed. If I go to the doctor, and the doctor says to me, which I do not like, well, what's wrong with you? You're like, dude, why am I here? Right? But he needs to know what your symptoms are. God doesn't need to know what my symptoms are. I need to tell him so I can get in agreement with him that he is the one I'm bringing those things to, because only he can make me whole. I'm telling y'all, we need to let our coworkers, our spouses, and our family members off the hook of having to listen to us whine and get emotional gratification from them. Well, nobody, y'all don't. Look how terrible this was. Listen, y'all laughing because you know them. All right, I'm just saying. But here's the thing. When we go to the Lord, he will expose that place and say, here's what's really going on. It's not what they said. It's not what they said that hurt you. It's you wanting to please people and feeling rejected or feeling caught because you were controlling a situation you had no business controlling. And that's the issue. And man, then I can get rid of that poisonous thinking in me that somebody else can keep me from the presence of God. That's a demonic lie. Nothing can separate us from his love. Guys, he's saying in this, wake up and realize joy has to come with fellowship. Fellowship with God is found in light, and there is no darkness in God. What are some things that are not found in the light of God? Fear? Worry? Doubt? Hatred? Bitterness? Suffering? Disease? Selfishness? Pride? Yeah. You know, boy, we always want to hit up on the drugs or something we don't deal with, or the porno. Man, those are the big ones. I had a friend actually in California tell me one time, because I threatened her to take her kids from her because she was doing drugs and she was inviting all these people in, and she had a 13-year-old daughter who was terrified. And I just told her, just let her live with me. I won't be mad at you. Just sign her over with me till you're done with what you're doing. And she would say, you don't understand. I mean, when we do cocaine, all we do is sit in a circle and talk about God and how we feel the presence of Jesus. And it is so enlightening to us. And I said, you're deceived. That's just like somebody going to a priest to confess their sin. You guys are sitting around talking about God and using that to justify what you do, to say you feel closer to him, when the fellowship with him will bring you the joy that you need to break the bondage of that, and you won't have to return to it. Who's entrapped to what? Man, gay, you meddling up of her night. Listen, I want you to know the truth, because that's what's going to set you free. We have agreed with some poisonous things, and we're hiding from God, and we need to bring them to the light, because in him is no darkness. God is never, ever going to reject you. God is never, ever going to tell you the reason why he won't work in your life. Oh, you know, well, you don't understand. Jesus was a man of sorrows, Gay. The word says that. He was a man of sorrow. He was a man of sorrows. But he was never sorry for himself. He was always, always for others. And that fills in your blanks on your notes. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and he wept. How I've longed to bring you under my wings. Lazarus, he wept. Lazarus is dead. He wept, but he always was in that sad place for others, not for himself. And hey, don't think he wasn't human. Don't think I'm trying to make you feel bad because you want somebody to go with you. Didn't he take the big three, Peter, James, and John, with him to Gethsemane, knowing that they couldn't stand up to it? But he wanted companionship. But he went a little further. And before he left, he said, hey, be careful. Don't let sleep catch you. Don't be tempted to sleep. And what'd they do? Slept. So it isn't that wanting someone to be with you is wrong. What's wrong is when you don't go a little further to the one who can answer your need. Boy, well, Gay, you know, that doesn't give me a lot of hope. Man, it gives me all the hope in the world. Because here's Peter. What's the first thing Peter did after he blew it? He ran, and he tried to hide. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, but, you know, that doesn't count. He was a disciple. He knew God. He touched him. You already amen me that you've been knowing him and touching him. It's too late to take it back. All I'm saying is he's still waiting to have breakfast with you, and he doesn't need what you pull out of the lake to feed you because he's already got it cooked on the shore. He just wants you to pull it in so you know that he's faithful, that he's true, he will never reject you, and he will never forsake you. Man, I'm telling you, it's a good Valentine's story today for us. Happiness is not dependent on what I can do, but what God through what Jesus has already done, will do. Oh, here's the Gnostic. Beware. I'm telling you all, you better listen to this one and circle it on your papers. Beware of this. People come in and say, well, I believe in Jesus. And, well, we believe in Jesus. He was a great prophet, and now you need to do this. Well, I believe in Jesus. Yes, you know, you're going to know. I'm talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and whoever else they are, Mormons, whoever. I'm going to agree with that. And now we need the understanding of this man. You've already said nobody's perfect. I shouldn't be judging you. Why am I going to let a man lead me to perfection? Right? Guys, we're not ignorant, but we are focusing on things that God can handle, and we're trying to figure out a way to do it without confessing, getting in agreement with him. And I found in my life, so it can just be me tonight, that whenever I don't want to confess something and get in agreement with him on something, that, you know, God, I'm walking in some darkness here, and I just don't want to do that. I found in my life it's a little issue called control. Well, you know, I just want to keep that for myself. I want to have the option. If you want fellowship with him, that's your option. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Not once you figured it out, but why don't you let me figure it out? Confession is joyful and agreement with God. James 5:16 says, confession of sin is not your salvation. It is your agreement with the finished work of Jesus. And I've given you other scriptures there that back that up. Romans 5:9, Romans 10:13, Ephesians 2:5, and 2 Timothy 1:9. Joy does not come by direct pursuit of joy. It is the byproduct of a right relationship with God. And nobody can keep you from that. Listen, I'm telling you, if you get in the prayer room and you're still seeing somebody else's face or you're still hearing what they said, you need to get in the throne room. You need to go in there and say, I am hurt. I am angry, because he knows. And I'm not going to hide from you. I'm going to get in here. I want you to show this to me. I'm hurting, and I need some healing. Because if you're counting on me, your happiness is short term. You with me? But the joy of the Lord, every time I go in there, he is not just the burden bearer, but he's the burden lifter A burden has to be lifted before someone else can bear it. And that's what he does for me. Unless you take the promises of God, and they've already been guaranteed through the payment of Jesus, and you touch them, and you see them, and you believe them, and you apply them, you can't cash in on the joy. So at the bottom of your notes, here's my little Valentine for each one of you. My dear brothers and sisters, this isn't a scripture, this is me talking to you. Joy does not deny tears. Joy overrides the fear and validates his promise that there is something deeper. I recognize that sorrow is temporary and not my ultimate ending, as with Jesus, my Savior. A man of sorrows, but his sorrow was ours about somebody else. And if the enemy is tricking us with sorrow for ourselves, that's a place of doubt and darkness. And we need to recognize there are hidden things in the darkness that you can't see without the light. Oh, you feel comfortable. That little bit of rain, that little bit of trouble, you feel like you're getting a little bit of safety. Be aware. Be aware. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's the accuser, not your Savior. He's the one who's going to tell you why you aren't good enough, not your Savior. Oh, he may remind you it ain't you, it's Jesus. But that's a burden lifter, not a burden on you. I want you to stand with me tonight. Joy comes with fellowship. And the fellowship that Jesus came to bring us is oneness with God. When he prayed in the garden, he said, I believe it's in John 17, I pray that they may be one with you as I am one with you. He wanted us to be one with the Father. That's why I don't need somebody. I don't need a priest to intercede for me. I got Jesus. I don't need to do cocaine to feel good about myself. I got Jesus. And I don't need hatred and bitterness to fuel me, to keep me going and give me purpose. I got Jesus who wants to set me free. Listen, I'm asking right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, those of us who have been bitten, God, by the thought that it's not my fault, it's the world's or someone else. God, I ask that poison be removed from us and we walk in right fellowship with you, knowing that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, according to your word in Matthew 6, Lord, that you, God, if we withhold from others, you cannot release to us, God. Your word says, God, to leave the works, the offerings, and go and establish right relationship and then come back, God. Lord, we want it to be right, and I want the light to show tonight because I need to be healed. God, I need to be healed of disappointment. I need to be healed of doubt. I need to be healed, God, of needing other people to stand between you and me. Father, I run to you for the provision that I need. And I thank you, God, that you will never reject me. I want to thank you for that, God. I'm sure about it, and I'm grateful. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And they all said,